This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad. Whoa.
Good morning. It's going to be one of those weeks. People are going to pretend to be productive, but they're really going to get nothing done. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, it's just this kind of two-week period, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because the change of seasons as well, so everyone then, for another reason, loses it.
It's these public holidays. They mess with everybody's flow. You can't... I'm very impressed with one or two of our clients who we've had meetings with in the last little while, because they're the only people in the whole of Johannesburg who seem to be working. Everybody else is taking a super slow week or three.
Mm.
You know? Last week they had that middle of the week Wednesday public holiday they gave us, remember?
The 21st.
That really messed that week up. Then this week, Friday is a holiday. So you got to put that in the diary in case you don't know. And then next week, Monday is a holiday. So that's 3 weeks a lot of people are just not going to be particularly good at doing anything useful in. It's crazy. You knock out 3 weeks of the calendar like that. It's just madness. And then don't forget, in April... We've got some more.
Yes, Freedom Day, I think. Yeah. It oddly makes me more motivated to work because I want to make sure as soon as Friday hits, I do not touch my laptop. I do not open my emails.
Yeah, in other words, you want to get as much done as...
Yes.
I agree. And I love the opportunity these public holidays present you with where you can jump ahead of everyone else. So you can be really efficient, make sure that you have nothing unattended to.
Mm.
All your stuff you have to do is up to date. You know, by Friday, you can actually enjoy that long weekend. Make it a proper 4-day, you know, zinger.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, as adults, we shouldn't have to be so pathetic as to think, oh, it's a short week, I'm going to do less. No, every hour of your life means something, does it not?
Well, Ben said something really interesting this morning, and I thought about this.
Oh.
I thought, no, you do, occasionally you do. What can I say? Ben said, you know... Casilla was talking about accepting invitations to events and things. And my default position is no. Unless it's something I'm so excited to do that I really know I'm going to love it. Because I've explained to you before, I suffer from the opposite of FOMO.
Mm-hmm.
That when I'm on my way to the event, whatever it might be, I always go, oh God, I should have said no.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the opposite of what other people do. They get in the car and they... They're either invited and they say no, and then they feel like they're missing out and they go anyway, which is fine, I suppose. If people are expecting you in a big group of people, it's not going to be that much of an issue. But if they've catered specially, it's a problem. But a lot of people get FOMO. They go, oh, I wish I was at that event. I have the opposite. Don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben said, you got to think of every event like it's sex with somebody. Oh. Don't you like that? Hey, Mubs.
Well, you said sex, so I'm interested.
No. So Ben says, if you're going to go to an event, you must think of it like you want to set aside that time, like it's being with someone intimately.
Yeah, because if you look at Sia's case, now Sia's a young man about town. He's very connected. People want a piece of him all the time. And he's like, oh, you know, I don't want to go to this event. And it's like, you got to be more ruthless about it. Think of it like sex. So people are just going to come up to Sia. Okay, I'm stretching here. I don't know. But people are just going to come up to Sia and say, hi, I would like to have sex with you on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And you're going to go, oh, yeah, okay.
Mm. You say something like, oh, I feel bad. I don't want to let this person down. I think I should go to their event.
No.
No, you should just say straight up, no.
And really, it's broader than just an event or whatever the case is. But you are right. It's about how precious your time is and how much you value it. And so that's why I just now, part of what I'm trying to do is just to don't do things I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's like, it's the worst thing ever. But when you consider how many times we do things.
And people feel bad and then they do things because of friends or family or because at work they don't want to be thought of as being the one who's not team player and all that stuff. You know,
as for this team player, but you hear this all the time in corporates. You know, a team player. Shut up. We're not in a sports team. This business will make money. I will leave. You will go. I will come. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I'm playing for the Proteas here. This is a business. This is my life and I leave you for my life.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a fine line here and I know we are these four people in this room who will probably agree with each other on this, but I know we should also think on the other side of the spectrum. Case in point, you do also have to sacrifice in relationships.
But only for the people that you love and care about. Mm. Everybody else,
there's a fine line.
Everybody else can get fucked because we don't owe each other anything.
No, we don't.
Because I'll give you a prime example. Last night, my sister came over. I actually went to pick up my nephew from school yesterday. And I thought, okay, I can spend the afternoon with him. Yeah, it was fine. Sure. And she was just meant to come over to my place, pick him up, and they were going to leave. And she ended up coming over at 6 p.m. and she spent the evening at my place. Like, she ended up sleeping over. And I was like, no, but honey, like, look at the time. Mm. And I did the whole fake yawn trick, and I was like, well, let me get into my PJs. She's like, oh yeah, it's fine, I'll sleep with you here.
So the risk of sounding like an old bastard, which I always said I don't care about anymore, but see, you bring up some great points because you're still young and fresh of mind.
Mm.
The problem with human nature is that people see weakness or accommodation as a sort of like, oh, I can take advantage. And you're talking about lines, people love crossing that. So the moment you become hospitable, accommodating, friendly, helpful, all that kind of stuff, they go, okay, well, cool. Well, I'm just going to, you know, latch onto that.
So in your personal capacity, what do you do now? Just screw off?
Well, I think it's all about communication up front.
Oh, geez.
If it's off the table, it's off the table.
Yeah, that's and some again, life advice and, from Ben. I don't
and
know.
And again, with family, people in your family should be treated with merit just like anyone else. Not because of your family that you can then take the piss.
Yeah, they can't be abusive.
No. Of course not.
And a lot of people's families do take advantage
of it. They think it's family.
All the time.
This general obligation thing.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that my family don't do that to me. They very seldom like leverage. We don't leverage each other. Someone in the family once asked me to do something. It wasn't so long ago, like 2-3 weeks ago. I just said, no, I'm not doing that. And they just dealt with it, which is appropriate. Some people's families like, you've got to do this because that aunt and this person.
Yeah.
You're like, no, thanks. It's okay.
You're guilted into doing something.
Don't ever do that to me. Guilt, it's not a good motivator for me because I don't actually have a lot of it. I don't carry it. It's not, and it's the same as those people who get sulky. You know,
if they don't get their way or if you don't agree with them.
I don't respond to that very well either. I freeze up. You could see the frost kind of growing on my windshield when that happens.
So it has the opposite effect, as it like.
Exactly. It should, for a lot of people, it kind of makes them feel bad. So they start doing whatever that person who's pulling the sour face is hoping for. It sort of, guilts them into action. The opposite happens with me. I start to really dislike that person.
So
I don't like being manipulated.
On the receiving end, do you just accept when a person says no? As well.
Yeah, totally.
Mm. You have to.
Yeah. If you're going to give, you're going to get. And I think that no one owes you anything in the world. And if you are doing things, and this is why it upsets you for a couple of seconds, and you realize, hang on a second, I'm not owed anything here.
Mm.
But if you've gone to a lot of trouble, like let's say you've organized an event,
mm-hmm.
and people have said, we're coming, different story, then it's just bad manners. And there are such things as bad manners, and it does count against you, not just in some social way. Bad manners will screw up your chances of getting the job you want. Bad manners will screw up relationships. Bad manners will poison people against you. It has massive ramifications. These things didn't just develop as social niceties between people who are trying to one-up each other. Manners make a huge difference in the world today because so few people have them. Mm. When you meet someone who does, you're like, wow, that person actually can be trusted when they say they'll do this. And how many people in life can you say that's a person of their word?
Mm.
But why do you think we're always upset with politicians? Because we realize that they're just dishonest people who have no manners. So it's really quite a pleasant surprise when you meet someone who's got good manners. So you go to the trouble of organizing something, people pitch up, everybody has a good time. You want to repeat the same process.
Mm.
And those people become your very good friends. And you drop some along the way. You kind of, you know, and then there are those people who spend a lot of time being left out of things because nobody wants to go to the trouble of like dealing with their, oh, I don't know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Eventually people go, you know what? That person's so flaky. It's not worth it. And then they find themselves sitting alone every night of the year. And they kind of wonder why. And you say, well, it's down to manners. Like, it matters. It actually makes a difference.
True.
Anyway.
My default setting is to say you shouldn't expect much from people to begin with, because ultimately there's going to be a time where they let you down. No, but then you don't set yourself up for failure. Yeah. Because when they do eventually let you down, you go, ah, okay. And then you keep it moving.
For me, I have categories in my life. There are people who I'd be absolutely shocked if they pulled some sort of stunt. Or there's some people who are just in the far off vicinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Who so you've got
yeah, you got your concentric circles moving outside.
Mm.
And that, I mean, there's some group of people somewhere in the middle that if you needed them, you would hope they would be there.
Like
you,
no questions asked, right. No conditions.
No, sure.
Call you at 3 in the morning would be the same
thing. And there probably aren't a lot of those of us on Earth, right?
That's fine. You don't need lots. Just know you must also be that person for the people you're expected of.
Yeah, it's reciprocal.
It's very reciprocal, yeah.
I think I actually have like 4.
Michelle says on this topic, we have our staff party today only because our Christmas season is too hectic. As good as the thought is, I don't really feel up to it because I'm working this long weekend. So she says, Puzza Tuesday is a real thing.
What happens at the staff party at the aquarium, Michelle?
Yeah, exactly. What do you guys do?
Do you play Finding Nemo?
You know, I was thinking of The Little Mermaid.
Past the Paupers.
And the songs there. I was like, can you teach the dolphins how to dance?
I was thinking some of those animals see things that scar them for life.
Yeah. From someone the humans. Someone dry-humping against the glass.
From like, the humans.
Yeah. So, oh, there we go. End of your party again.
Except don't dolphins like that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, dolphins
are into it. Well, you know, dolphins are trash.
They are. They really are. They're dodgy as hell.
They're so rapey.
They're trash. They're rapey.
That's exactly right. So here's Caro. She's in Newfoundland, which is in Canada.
Just one more time. Where?
Newfoundland.
Okay.
Okay, so, wow, guys, talk about a humdinger of a day with Cliff Central. I had my usual morning dose and then a much-needed sprinkling of Riyad Musa. In brackets, God, he's divine. Tracy going and a rerun of Jordan Peterson. Thanks, guys. Great kickstart to the week, which ends with a trip to Barbados, nice. Mom. Ooh. Happy Easter. Yeah, indeed. That's fantastic. Sure. Nice one.
All right, it is Easter.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're a pastor's son. You should know better than that.
Well,
come on.
Okay.
Anybody got any big plans for the long weekend?
Sure, cricket. Mm. It's the fourth test. Doing that.
Ben was so excited about this cricket yesterday. Mind you, everybody was. I think everyone was talking about it. There were so many memes going around. It was
endless.
Insane.
This is the most exciting social media has ever been since someone said, let's make social media. For me, in a sporting context, of course.
Oh, okay.
That is, guys. This is such a big deal. I was trying to describe this to my girlfriend over the weekend. It's like, when you watch sport, a lot of it's just there. You can pick up on the highlights. You can pick up on what's going on. You'll understand it. With this, you want to watch everything that happens in the series.
Well, you said it yourself. It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, but it's also...
everything in it.
There's also decent cricket being played as well. And there's finally a South African team doing well.
So yes, I'm going that's a big deal.
And the Wanderers is a big deal because there's nothing like it in sport. There's really nothing as bizarre as the Wanderers. It's hostile yet fun. I mean, obviously, you don't want to go to the Wanderers if you're an Australian in an Australian shirt. I was going to say that could be a cuck idea.
Oh.
Because people are rough there. But I'm a South African, so I can assimilate with the ruffians, and it's fine, and it's good.
Hey, you mentioned something yesterday I didn't realize. The Wanderers has a tunnel.
Yeah.
Which is usual in a rugby or a football match, but not in cricket.
See, in football or rugby, they come out of the stadium. So they come out of a tunnel which is built into the structure.
Underneath cricket, where the locker rooms
cricket
are.
Cricket ovals essentially are open plan affairs with, essentially, from the olden days, you'd have the clubhouse.
And they always come down the stairs, right?
Yeah, you walk up the stairs and you'd walk through gentlemen clapping you.
The
wonder is you get into this, like, this little rat tunnel. Which is actually quite... I've walked down it a few times. It's actually very cool. There's like pictures of ex-cricketers and you come down and then there's this massive arena ahead of you. It's like gladiators, basically. You go through this thing and you darkness and suddenly everything just opens up and this crowd is shouting and cheering. Like it must be an incredible sensual experience.
And sensual.
And if you're not Australian, I reckon that's when your sphincter goes to like a diameter you're not comfortable with.
Oh. You were using very colorful language in those few
words. What is, yeah, it's all consuming.
I love okay. that. That's fantastic. What a description.
I don't know how I feel hey, about all of that.
Did you guys hear that Angus Buchan?
Oh.
He had this.
Sorry.
He prayed for rain and he saved a bunch of gang leaders and a whole lot of people were so impressed because guess what? While he was praying for rain, it started to drizzle. Yeah. They were like, you see, Jesus does love Angus Buchan.
So he saw all the clouds gathering, so he gathered people around on the one day that it was being forecast to rain.
Well, no, he didn't know that. I mean, Ben, you know what? He's got a connection to Jesus, whether you like it or not.
Because we all know we can't really rely on the weather service. How many times have they predicted something and it just doesn't happen? It was all Angus. He has the power. Angus.
He's up there. He's Jesus's dude.
He has the power.
In high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys.
People holding hands.
I trust that not one person will leave here when the rain comes.
What? What did he shout at them there? And there's people like with their hands up and they're looking up at the sky. I mean, it's just insanity. There are so many people who are like so into this stuff. How come I'm not into that? Where did I miss that boat? Because it feels like they're having a good time when you watch them. They got their hands up in the air.
Everything all comes down to entertainment. If you can afford your own, you don't need Angus. If you can't...
You think so?
That's what the church has relied on for so long now.
Have a look at these people. They're having the time of their life at Angus's meeting.
Huh? Look at
these people. So excited. All right. Little children. The police. Even the police have got their hands up in the air. And then there's some clouds. And
ooh, some clapping.
Yeah.
Catching the spirit.
Catching the spirit.
Mm-hmm. They got umbrellas because they know that the rain's coming. And then it starts to drizzle and they all get very excited.
Gavius, please come forward and change your revolver. For a Bible.
What? Oh, that was the leader of the gang.
Wait, did they come forward?
Change your revolver for a Bible. Sorry.
Sure.
Question.
Yeah.
What did
you
have in my
head?
I don't know.
You see.
A lot of the people at this thing look like they have fetal alcohol syndrome.
Might just seem obvious to me, but if they are self-admitted gang leaders and the police are also present...
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't these people arrested?
Just arrest them there, like, yeah.
Yeah, but
gang leaders come forward and they come forward. It's like, okay, and into that police van.
Yes,
bye.
But you are in the spirit of Jesus-ness and they like everybody forgives each other and they understand and then they hug each other and then they all go home.
I'm sorry, is that something I missed in the Constitution? Is that a clause?
No, it clearly says
in the presence of Angus Buchan, the law will take a back seat.
It's amazing. People just like they swept up in this stuff. And I don't mean to I don't mean to denigrate or to say that it's stupid, but it looks it looks dumb. It just like you
look, the only difference between you and them is they are believers. They believe in something that you don't believe in.
There's one guy there, he's holding up this massive big cross. He's holding it up in the air like I'm wondering why.
It's an interesting point, Mavis. It's about belief. I think Gareth believes in himself, so therefore he doesn't need this other stuff. And I think I put myself in the same boat. I believe in myself to do what I can in life. These people need constant direction. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. We cut differently.
Well, you know, they call in the church, they always say the flock, you know?
Yeah, so you need to always have something you can attach yourself to.
And a flock of sheep always need a shepherd.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you consider yourself a sheep, if you consider yourself part of the flock, then, you know, I don't have a lot in common with you. I'm not going to look down on you, but I don't have a lot in common with you. And it's just a strange way for me to... I look at this stuff almost like, if you can imagine an alien watching... I've discussed this before and I don't want to go into it too much, but I really don't like the idea of belonging to a mob.
No.
A mob of anything, a good mob, a bad mob, any mob.
I agree.
The minute I'm around more than 20 people that are doing the same thing or thinking the same way, there's groupthink, I'm out.
I know, like line dancing, it freaks me out.
Yeah. It's the same thing, it's scary, right?
I'd much prefer being the one leading the mob, because then I get to control
You've
everyone.
You've got the power.
Yeah. That's more appealing to me.
Anyway, speaking of these mobs, apparently Hermanus was the locus of a whole lot of craziness yesterday. Actually, an email from a listener of ours who lives in a complex in Hermanus, Guillermo, and he said there was such tension that the protesters stormed this residential complex after a failed meeting with the local municipality over housing. Now, what do the people in the complex have to do with your argument with the municipality? That seems very, very dangerous. I mean, where are the police? Those people should be arrested, along with those people who hopped onto the stage at Angus Buchan and said, yeah, here's my revolver. So there's kind of a responsibility there for the remember, the only function, the only civic function of a government in terms of protection is to protect the citizens' rights to their own property. That's their civic function. That's their duty. That's their purpose. There isn't... Why else do you pay taxes? We've discussed this so many times. You don't get anything for your taxes. You don't. You get nothing. So if the government aren't going to enforce your property rights, if you're an ordinary citizen of, you know, the country and you live in a complex and a bunch of protesters come, it's the police's responsibility, it's the government's duty to make sure that you're protected from a crazy mob. And if they've got an issue with the municipality, that's not your problem as a resident of some other part of the town. You don't need to be dragged into that shit. It's not your problem. You are not allowed to make your problem someone else's. So Guillermo says he was scared shitless, and there was a car set on fire.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. In the complex, they set someone's car on fire. Now, I mean, you could say, well, practically... You know, it's not a big deal because you could get the insurance to... That's just outrageous that someone is allowed to torch your car in a private complex.
Shucks.
You can't do that. You're just not... These people have got to be arrested. These are petty criminals. Not even petty. They're grand-scale criminal activity. And in a place like Hermanus, can you imagine those people in Hermanus running, oh my God! I mean, I'm not making fun of them. It's obviously a horrible thing to happen, but Hermanus is one of those sleepy little places that you don't expect this kind of thing from, right?
They don't have this type of drama on the daily.
No. So it's very strange. Anyway. All right, well, there's a bunch of news we've got to get to. There's a whole lot of other stuff that we want to tell you about, but let me quickly remind you that if you haven't already got a pair of these, you need to get them ASAP, and maybe over the Easter weekend is a great time to test them. That's our Cliff Central unwired earphones at the forefront of great technology. And don't take our word for it. Take Ben's word for it.
Yeah, I use these every day. And I run with them as well.
There we go. Take Sia's word for it.
It's a great gift because my sister, who spent the night yesterday, was actually very impressed by them.
Oh, did you have to give them to her?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Take Mabali's word for it.
It is excellent when you want to be obvious to the person next to you that you don't want to fucking talk to them.
I think that was what should have got onto the box, Gareth. That line.
I don't know why anybody thinks it's a good idea to start talking to me when I'm on the treadmill and I've got my
earphones. Did someone start talking to you?
It happens all the time in gym. What the fuck are you doing?
All right, don't take our word for it. Take Stuff Magazine's word for it. If you're a podcast fan, this is what they said. You should have a pair already and perhaps a spare in the car based on the price alone. Yep. Cliff Central unwired earphones connect to any smartphone, laptop, or tablet, so you can listen to podcasts, music, videos, even phone calls. They've got over 10 hours of battery life, a built-in microphone, 3-button controller, and an ergonomic design so it doesn't fall out of your ears when you're exercising. Plus, it's got brilliant sound and build quality to Cliff Central unwired earphones, the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. Best of all, only 550 Rand. You can discover more by going to cliffcentral.com. Get yourself a pair today. All right, these are the five things you need to know.
The former president's lawyer, Michael Hulley, has confirmed that he has received a summons for his client to appear in the Durban High Court on the 6th of April. His client, of course, being the former president, Jacob Zuma. Michael Hulley saying, I can confirm that the summons has been received and that we are preparing an application to review the NDPP's decision to prosecute. The NPA will prosecute Zuma on 16 charges of corruption, money laundering, and racketeering. The charges also relate to 783 questionable payments that Zuma allegedly received in connection with the controversial multi-billion rand arms deal.
783 payments of a controversial nature. I mean, 783 payments is probably more than most of us have ever received in our life from anyone.
Yeah.
That's just insane. And those are just to do with the arms deal. We don't know about ones post that.
Yeah.
And this was early days, huh? This is just early days.
Yeah, this is, he was just getting warmed up. Huh? This guy. And this Michael Hulley.
How?
I can't imagine how much money we've paid. Ooh, we, the taxpayers, have paid Michael Hulley to make sure that this guy stayed out of jail. I can't imagine how much money we've paid him.
And then the public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, has shared some documents emanating from her State Capture Commission investigation. She shared this information with the Deputy Chief Justice, Raymond Zondo, because he is preparing for the upcoming Judicial Commission of Inquiry into State Capture. Mkhwebane's office released a statement yesterday indicating that they had in fact met with Zondo in Johannesburg last week to discuss the inquiry's pending commencement, and then they officially handed over 17 boxes of documents that they had in their possession. Ah, these wheels. It took a while, but they're turning, it would seem.
Thank goodness. About time.
Now, the University of South Africa, aka UNISA, are finding themselves in a bit of a predicament. Well, they have refuted reports of a fraud syndicate involving bursaries at the institution. And this is because one of their employees got arrested.
Wasn't it just that one chick at Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University who got that big payment and spent it all?
No, this is an actual employee of the institution, so it's not just a student.
Okay.
The Hawks said that they had arrested the university's payroll administrator for allegedly manipulating the bursary system. This person is allegedly creating ghost students at the South African Agency for Science and Technology. But UNISA then came forward saying, because of the statement, people are now under the impression that student bursaries at UNISA are being defrauded. And so the university very quickly came forward to refute those reports. But yes, at least one employee of the institution is behind bars and is being investigated for this fraud.
Wow, there are some smart, crafty people behind the scenes just trying to get some money that isn't theirs.
You create ghost students.
That's clever. I heard about how... Which famous election? It was the Zimbabwean election where they had all those dead people voting. You remember?
Yeah.
They created those... These people would go in and they'd go in like four times with a different name every time, and then they turned out to be carrying the passports or the IDs of dead people and voting in that election. It was when Bob Mugabe came in. So this doesn't surprise me. Some very crafty people. And obviously that person thought, I'm going to get away with this. And for a while they did. And suddenly, as you say, mobs, the wheels turn. And suddenly, you know, you're brought to justice. You can never ever steal like that and expect to get away with it permanently. I've got some good news in the five things you need to know.
Okay.
A new season of Billions started. Season 3 of Billions started in America yesterday. Isn't that exciting? Or was it Sunday night? I think it was Sunday night.
Yeah,
so that'll be coming here soon too.
Are they still a gender fluid show?
Yeah, they've got that one gender fluid person in the show.
Oh,
that was Ben's gripe with the show. Is it's just
I gotta say there that the show lost me right there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know if you finished Mubs, but I've got a couple of others that perhaps we should talk about after 7. But those emojis that people use on a daily basis, a newspaper in India has printed a list of what the emojis mean, what look like innocent emojis, because you know that they took away things that they thought were controversial that on your iPhone or on your any WhatsApp function, basically, where you've got certain emojis.
Well, they replaced a pistol with a water gun.
That's right, because they thought this is dangerous. And they took away any overtly sexual ones, but now people have found new ones or ones that exist already and
that they also have a problem with?
Well, no, they euphemistically have come to mean sexual things. So I'll explain to you what those are just now. You've got to use, according to the newspaper, the headline is, use these emojis with care. You know, because people don't know, you don't want to get the wrong idea. When someone sends you that peach, they don't mean a peach, they mean a butt.
Oh, mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some ass.
Yeah, that was obvious, though.
Ass.
I mean, who eats peaches nowadays anyway?
Yeah. You, I mean, you eat ass these days.
Exactly. That's eating so ass obvious. Is more common than eating a peach.
Yeah.
That's right.
I
mean,
yeah.
Who are you, Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, right. Okay, let's get on with it. It's time for a quick Bitcoin and cryptocurrency update. I know there are a lot of people who've fallen out of love with this, but it's still worth checking in on because the ups and downs carry on. I actually spoke to Dori here in the office yesterday about it. She said she's just left. She's written that money off. She didn't put a huge amount of her life savings into it, but she's left it there, and she says if it goes up, that'll be terrific. If it goes down, she's come to accept that it's gone.
That's actually a good strategy.
Well, that's all you got. So Bitcoin trading at $7,864.10 right now. Ethereum sunk so low that I actually have to refresh my screen to be able to see it. $478.66. Terrible. And things like Monero, $179 after it was at a certain stage. It was all the way up at like $400. So about half the value it was. And a lot of people are saying, well, if you look at the graph and you cut out December, January, really, then we're still in an upward trend. But I don't know if I feel that way. I think for a lot of people, there was a bit of a bounce in Bitcoin Gold. But then who even has that, right? $52 at the moment. But it did go all the way up to, $55. Over the last 2 days. So if you're watching those, that's what you need to know. Let's get into the sport. Here's Ben with a quick look at what's going on the field. Take it away, Ben.
Well, the dodgy Aussies are still dominating the headlines, really.
And their own country, though. The headlines in Australia, they're furious.
From a South African perspective, if you feel you've got a shit on the Aussies right now, don't worry. Take a week off. The Aussies are doing it for you.
Yeah.
No one is getting more hardcore about the players than the Australians themselves, from parody songs to general piss takes to the actual authorities cracking the whip on these guys.
And they're furious.
So much so that Dazza Buff Lehman looks like he'll be stepping down this week. Now, he is that kind of cue ball-looking coach of theirs, who many say is just the epitome of a poison culture in this Aussie team right now. You know, he's the kind of guy who'll walk into a room and fart and just have a laugh. And, you know, you're the kind of guy that will say really misogynistic things while at a family do. And that's Buff Lehman, and he's headed up this whole thing. So as my Aussie friend Dennis said, who is just an oracle of cricketing things, really, Mickey Arthur, who was South African guy who then became the Aussie coach, he tried to instill some discipline with these hooligans. What happened? They pushed him out. And they said, we need a bloke's bloke, and we got Buff to come and coach. And then Buff got in there, probably farted, and then said something derogatory about minorities. And then that was it. He was now the Aussie coach. And he was seen as the guy who was going to get Aussie cricket back to where it could be, you know, back to the heart of what it is to be Australian. And a lot of Australians are like, no, that's not what being an Australian is, actually. Do you guys not watch
Bogan culture?
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, like, do you guys not watch MasterChef? We've evolved. And now there's Buff. Who, I mean, he's not MasterChef, is he? And look where they are now. They're a bunch of cheaters, a bunch of cheating bastards who no one likes. Australia are so ashamed of these people right now.
Darren Lehman.
And as I was making the point a few years back, not all Australians are bad. Most of them are actually very nice. And this current crop of cricketers, well, they're an absolute disgrace to the proud nation, the proud nanny state nation of Australia. And Buff Lehman, well, who knows what he's going to be doing after this. I suggested today that Steve Smith is going to be pushed to the ringer so hard he'll be giving hand jobs in Hobart. Well, Buff Lehman, he's also going to probably be packing meat at some stage. That's pretty much what his future holds. So no confirmation on him stepping down, but it's going to happen any time now, any day now. Which just does, again, it waters down what should have been an incredible test match of the Wanderers. And it still will be good, and I still do recommend you go there. It was meant to be the climax of a thrilling series, but now all this turmoil, all this disaster around the Aussie team has detracted a bit from the cricketing spectacle. Steve Smith has, well, You never know. This whole step down, fired, or thrown out on your ass is a fine line between how you want to phrase this. But Steve Smith has stepped down as the captain of the Rajasthan Royals IPL team. Now, you know you're a dodgy individual
when you have to leave the
when an IPL team basically doesn't want anything to do with you. Rajasthan Royals were basically thrown out of the IPL for corruption and all that kind of stuff. So they know which side of the line they've often been on. And they don't want Smith. So you think about Steve Smith. He had all this money coming in, all these endorsements. He was a captain of the Australian team,
right.
World's best test batsman. You're making IPL money. None of that's going to happen. He's going to be having beers with Buff at some stage, and he's going to hope that Buff pays for them. It's just, it's so sad. But then again, kids, cheaters never prosper. We keep learning this more and more in life. So it turns out that Filikafani de Villiers has become a bit of a hero in this whole
Where's
incident.
He been? Well, what's he been up to?
Filikafani is obviously the Afrikaans commentator on the SuperSport broadcast. So, you know, SuperSport gives you a variety of options for your mother ear, so to speak.
Yeah.
And Fani does the Afrikaans. So he reckoned, you know, this cuck on the go here. Because these guys were getting reverse swing in like the later stages of the 20 overs. Normally, reverse swing is something that happens when the ball gets older, and because you've been shining it for 60 overs, the one side will be heavier, and that's what happens. It's the beauty of cricket, because our strange is that you use the same ball for so long, whatever, whatever. But Fani was going, no, how can they get all this swing so early on? So he actually told the cameramen, he told the production crew, guys, look out for something here. The Aussies are up to no good. Look out for something. And apparently, after an hour of the cameramen scouring the field and looking out for something, it's like an episode of Blue Planet. They set up the hides and they
That's
waited.
That's terrific. They caught these Aussies
after
on,
an
huh?
hour of watching these Aussies. What are they doing? What are they doing with this ball? Because there's no way they should be doing what's happening.
Wow, because a lot of people they wondering found, how they got this. So it was Farney's tip off.
They found
huh?
Bancroft, and they're sort of narrowing in on him. Now, these Aussies, who obviously some of them are still playing victim cards, some of them are still having a go at Faf du Plessis' ball tampering issues of the past. They were saying, SuperSport, a severely patriotic network, found the images. And yes, they did find them. And Fani tipped them off. Nothing wrong with that. Because these guys are doing something dodgy. So all this is coming back again, like, you know, during the Ashes when they were so good against England. What was going on there? Well, we all know that Bancroft has sugar in his pockets. That's not because he was feeding a horse. It's because he was roughing up the ball. These guys can't escape the undeniable evidence that they're as dodgy as all hell.
Bloody cheat.
I gotta say, the next Ashes series, we're gonna see firstly a different coach, a whole bunch of different players, different captain. It's gonna be interesting. But again, like my friend in Australia said, we'd rather lose 5-0 in the series and know we've got decent blokes than be competitive with a bunch of cheating, whinging, moaning bogans. Yeah, it's not exactly what he said, but I mean, pretty much the same.
Along those lines.
Yeah. All right. So there isn't any other big stories. I mean, I know the Super Rugby being played at the moment. There's international football, friendlies, which I always think are a waste of time. Friendlies in sport. I mean, you play friendlies with your mates on a Friday or have a couple of beers. Sport should be sport. So Portugal, they got hammered by the Netherlands yesterday. Of course, this means nothing because Netherlands can't do it when it really matters, when it is for qualifying for big tournaments. Finland absolutely drilled Malta. Bulgaria playing Kazakhstan. How exciting is that?
No,
exactly. So England, they beat Netherlands over the weekend 1-0. So if you like these kind of things, like Qatar taking on Syria, that was a thrilling 2-2 draw. I'm sure you'll find this on your own accord. You don't need me to tell you about it. More sport tomorrow. Hopefully there's something else other than the fact that Buff Lehman's a dick and Aussie cricketers can't be trusted.
Well, while we're speaking about sport, it's worth referring you to, if you haven't heard it already, our discussion with David Beckham now 2 weeks ago. And this is because he was in South Africa to launch his own brand of whiskey. That's right, Hague Clubman, a new unconventional stylish whiskey that's designed for unconventional people, the brainchild of revered and respected Hague brand. And David Beckham fuses the worlds of quality and credibility with a modern stylish flair. It's for independent women, dynamic young men, and people who break the rules. David Beckham breaks the rules. And Sia, you even tried some, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
With a splash of cola, a lime, some ice. Oh, yeah.
That's actually my new favorite drink at the moment is whiskey and ginger ale. Oh, yeah. I know it sounds quite immature, but it's just getting me through this autumn.
Well, Hager's nice and it's all about mixing it up.
There's nothing wrong with
that. So you try your combination. Yeah,
some people like to buy Johnny Blue and water it down with Coke Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to buy a really, really cheap local brand of whiskey and add Sparberry to it. You're allowed to do what you want. But the nicest thing about this Hague Clubman is it's designed with whatever you want to mix it in with in mind.
Well, so it's also very reasonable in terms of price.
It is?
Yeah.
I haven't bought a bottle.
It really is, yeah. Well,
there we go. David Beckham breaks the rules, and we asked him why he decided to add a whiskey to his portfolio. And if you want to know that and a whole lot more about him, download the podcast. It's all on cliffcentral.com. Hague Clubman is not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Let's get to Sia and see what's happening with him. Said by Sia, what do you got?
We can say a lot of things about Trevor Noah. He's talented, he's cool, he's successful as well. But I have to say this morning, he's also a very good friend. So Trevor, with the success of his autobiography, Born a Grime, has now tapped his friend and fellow South African director, Liesel Tommy, and has signed her to direct the big screen adaptation of his book. Oh. So congratulations to Liesel Tommy. That's what Said by Sia is all about this morning. This is Trevor Noah's first project with his entire deal with Viacom, which is the parent company of Comedy Central, which hosts The Daily Show and will be released through their venture. But now this Liesel from Cape Town, just living her life and going about and, you know, working and trying to go up the ranks, has now been signed on to this massive, massive project. So not only, of course, is Trevor part of it, but Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o will star as Trevor Noah's mother in the film.
Ooh.
So Nyong'o and
Liesel... That's a biggie.
It really is. Liesel, Tommy, and Lupita have worked together before on a Broadway production, which actually led to Liesel winning a Tony Award nomination back in 2016. The Tonys are like the Oscars of the Broadway world. So this is awesome. Liesel was born in Cape Town and she grew up there as well. And she now moved to Boston and works in the state. So on the project, she says that when I came home to Cape Town for Christmas in 2016, I gave my father, my brother and my uncles Trevor's book as Christmas presents. I loved it so much and thought they'd love it too because of the combination of humor and love of family with the apartheid backdrop. But never in a million years did I imagine I'd one day be directing the film of that book. I've spent many years working all over the world to finally get to come home to South Africa to shoot a project like this is an absolute dream come true. So congratulations to her. I think this is awesome. And Trevor, yo, you're a good friend.
Well, I don't think he's done it because she's his friend. I think he's done it because he knows she'll do a good job.
Mm.
You know, and I like that. I think... You know, you don't want your... This is your movie, effectively. It's a story of your life. You don't want some hack doing it. They'll screw it up.
So which also says a lot about Liesel.
It must say she's got great ability.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it is 12 minutes to 7, cliffcentral.com on a Tuesday morning. It's a short week this week. Friday's Good Friday. It's a public holiday. So get ready for that if you are in SA. If you're listening to us from anywhere else in the world, you might also be celebrating Good Friday this week, but you might just want to pretend the day off is yours, no matter where you are.
This is CliffCentral.com.